probably one of the top experts that I know on prayer and meditation, so he's the perfect guy to come talk about step 11. So do me a favor, give it up for Dr. Bill Gauthier.
Thank you, Randy.
Good evening to all of you. Glad to be here with you. We're talking about prayer and meditation, and it's going to be a good evening together. Glad that each one of you are here. Let's go back and review. Oh, how many of you did not get a handout? If you just raise your hand, one of the hosts will bring a handout to you. We didn't have those ready, right, as some of you had arrived. So if you were missing the handout with the outline for this evening, just raise your hand and we'll make sure that you get a copy of that. And first thing I want to do is just go back and review step 11. I don't know if in the back you can put that on the slide for us again that we had up there, or if you have it on your sheet. Yeah, there it is. Let's all just stand up together and read that out loud. You ready, set, begin. Softly prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God. Praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. Amen. That's right. Well, you just heard Charisse give a wonderful, inspiring testimony of step 11. And it's hard to imagine where she would be today without prayer. It was on that retreat when she was at the end of her rope and she prayed to God and God met her. And she started a journey of growing her conscious contact with God that eventually led her into the 12 steps and into sobriety and recovery and now leading support groups for others in recovery. Prayer and meditation are two wonderful, helpful disciplines that carry us through recovery. That's what we'll be talking about for a few minutes this evening. Let me tell you a story. We have three kids, and our two youngest are girls, and we have a neighbor who has some dogs that goes out of town from time to time, and so the girls have taken turns watching these dogs. And just a few years ago, Brianna was watching the dogs. She's our youngest, and these dogs have some problems. They're in the utility room, and they make a lot of messes, and so Brianna asked for help, and so I was going over there with her sometime, and my wife Christy went over there a lot more than I did, but to help clean up all the pee and poop, and it was really an awful, stinky mess. It was a terrible job, and I was thinking, here I am helping clean up all this stuff, and she's getting paid. It's like, what's the matter with this arrangement here? But the fun part was taking the dogs for a walk. In fact, one time, Brianna's sister Jenny, her older sister, and I took them for a run together. And that was really fun, because I like to run. Some of you heard me speak, and I've talked about some of my marathons and training and running, because that's a lot of fun for me. And it's an analogy for recovery and for spiritual growth, the training process that goes into finishing a race. I know some of you here have done races. Well, anyway, so we're Jenny and I are jogging these two dogs along. Lucky and Spanky are their names. That's kind of a fun name, Lucky and Spanky. They're just little dogs with short hair. I don't know what kind they are, but real happy dogs. And Jenny had Lucky and I had Spanky. We're just kind of running along the sidewalk. And we weren't very far into the run, and all of a sudden the dog that I had, Spanky, just yelped.
Yay!
And she ran. You didn't make that sound like a dog? Somebody do a better dog yelp than that. How does a dog yelp sound? That's good. Yeah, that's how we're doing. Yeah. So we're taking the dogs along, and Spanky yips like that. Well, I run Spanky into the thorns. And Jenny said to me, "Dad, Spanky's blind." It's like, oh, that would have been helpful to know. I felt so sad. Did the poor Spanky, running the thorns. But, Spanky is so resilient. And so, he got right back on his feet, tongue hanging out, happy as can be, running along. But this time, he's hugging my shins a little more closely. And I got that leash a little bit tighter, I'm making sure where we're going that he doesn't run into anything. He can't get around without me helping him. And so, as I was running with my daughter after this happened, God just kept drawing my attention back to this story. And I realized it was a parable. You know, Jesus spoke in parables. I think most of you know that. New Testament, Jesus was always telling these stories that had spiritual meaning. And then he would unpack them for people and explain the meaning and how it would help them in their life. Well, the parables that Jesus told, they always just came from stuff in nature and things going on around them. And then he would just tell these stories. Well, there was a sower sowing these seed, you know, or there's this bird that went up in the tree. And he would tell these stories that had these deep meaning. Well, God still speaks in parables in your life and in my life. If we just will pay attention to the things that we experience and then just listen, what does this mean? And so this was one of those cases where I just sensed that God was talking to me about something here. And basically what I came up with is that it's not real flattering, but I'm like Spanky, a blind dog. Some of you are thinking, I knew you were a dog, Bill. I have trouble seeing my way along, you know? Just a dog going along in life. It was blind. And God is like me, except he takes a lot more care and caution for not running the dog into the thorns. You know, like I messed up there. But he's guiding me along with the leash. Well, what's the leash? The leash is it's like God's word or prayer or anything that we do to get that conscious contact with God. And prayer and meditation on Scripture would be two of our primary tools or exercises or disciplines that help us improve that conscious contact with God. It's that leash there. See, so if you just think of yourself as sort of like me in this story, that, you know, in a way we're all blind, particularly as it relates to spiritual reality. The deeper meaning of things. What God is up to in our lives. And we get confused about that. We get distracted about that. And I mean, if we could really see clearly into God's purposes and into our place in God's kingdom, I don't think we'd be using alcohol and drugs and sex and food and stuff like we do. Because we would be enlightened. We would have a source of understanding and connection and security that would be very powerful for us. And in helping us to live a sober life, a good life, a life of love, a life of staying connected to God. And as Teresa's story illustrates so well, there is sustenance, nourishment that's a lot better than food or drugs. It's in God. And we connect to God, that the leash that connects us to our Master is prayer and meditation. So that's what we're talking about this evening, is how do we connect with God through prayer and meditation? And particularly, I've always loved this about step 11, this idea of conscious contact with God. See, you know, God is in this room right now. And when you leave this room, God is there. Wherever you go, God is around, and he's accessible to you. But are we making conscious contact with God? Are we appreciating his presence? Are we relying on his love, his wisdom? See, that's the question. It has to do with our consciousness or our sobriety. You think about what is the meaning of the word sobriety? It's awareness, awakeness, vigilance, alertness. To be sober is not only to be off of drugs or alcohol, it's to be present in the moment, alert and awake to the opportunities of life, the opportunities of love. And conscious contact with God is a way of talking about that. But we can't really have full sobriety and wakefulness and alertness apart from the help of the Holy Spirit. So We're after conscious contact with God. That comes through prayer and meditation, two primary disciplines. And the effects of this, the results of this, are that we grow in divine knowledge and power. You see, that's what step 11 is teaching us. We sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, seeking only the knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. And just a brief comment about knowledge and power. We're going to spend most of our time talking about prayer and meditation, but I think we need to rehabilitate those words a little bit, because in our culture, sometimes knowledge, we just think of that as like intellectual knowledge that maybe doesn't do much good for life. But the word knowledge in the Bible, and as it's being used here in the 12 steps, it refers to interactive relationship. We're talking about practical wisdom. For instance, when some of you in the room I know are mechanics. All of us have cars probably, and our cars have problems, and we take them to the mechanic. You know, you want to take your car to a mechanic who has knowledge about cars. If he doesn't understand, you would never want to take your car to me. I mean, I can never figure out the workings of a car. I mean, the workings of a human soul, I have some understanding about that. But cars, mechanical things, I just can't figure that stuff out. Mechanics understand that stuff. And so they can explain to us what's going on with the car and what needs attention, because they have experience. They have a relationship with cars and with the parts of cars. They've repaired cars before. They have knowledge, practical knowledge. See, that's the kind of knowledge we want to have about God and God's will. It's a relationship with God that we want to grow in, interacting with Him. We need knowledge in life to overcome our addictions, to stay in recovery. There's some stuff that we need to learn. We need to really understand. And so we're going to need to do some study. And so that's why we've got steps. That's why we've got the big book. That's why we have meetings like this. That's why you have groups to go to. That's why you listen to testimonies and people sharing. Because if you engage your brain and you open your heart, you begin to learn some things about life. It's just like pulling up the hood of the car. And so just like the mechanic can explain to you how the car works, there are people in this room with a lot of experience in recovery, and they can explain to you how recovery works. They have knowledge about that. They have experience. They have not just months of sobriety, but years. And they're not just white-knuckling it. They've come into true soberness. Some of us, of course, more than others. We're all on a journey. But a true life of fullness, love, joy, and peace. Being in a relationship. See, we learn in recovery. We gain the knowledge of how to be intimate with God. How to be intimate with people who are safe. Randy emphasized that at the beginning this evening. This is a safe place this evening. We need safe places to go to share, to be listened to be prayed for, and so forth. And so there are people here who have knowledge about recovery. Because they have learned some things along the way. God has taught them. And they have replaced what they used to go to food, for instance, or to alcohol for that good feeling, that sense of connection and aliveness, or just to relax. And they've learned instead to go to their group, to go to a friend, but most of all, and in all things that are healthy, to go to Jesus. A relationship with God through Jesus. And that fills that hole that food could never fill or alcohol could never fill. You see? It takes knowledge, experiential knowledge, to understand these things. And you can grow in your understanding. One of the ways we grow is through pain and problems. That's why we're all in this room. But the other way we grow is we get around people who are ahead of us in the journey. And we look at them. We watch them. We listen to them. We get into their lives. We hear their stories. We see how they deal with temptation, how they deal with stress and loneliness and rejection and all these things. And we see there's another way to do it. I don't have to go into using drugs and just make my life worse. I can go to God, and here are some practical helpful ways that I can go to God, you see. So we need knowledge. Prayer and meditation are about helping us have knowledge about God and His will. And they're also about power. We need power. It takes power. How many of you know it takes power to say no to alcohol? If that's what you've been using? I mean, just having a feeling about it or an idea about it is not enough. There's got to be a power within you that you didn't used to have. And we understand that's God's power. That's what the 12 steps teach us. It's a power of love. It's the power that there's something better. It's not like, poor me, I don't get to drink anymore. It's like, this is the best, a better life. Sobriety is saner, it's healthier. And eventually, maybe not at first, but eventually, it's a happier life. And there's some people in this room that can explain that to you. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. He wasn't kidding or just, you know, making light of something. Following Jesus, you may have heard about how hard it is to follow Jesus. There are things about it that are challenging. There is some sense in which, at first, it's easier to just do whatever you feel like doing. But the truly good life, the truly fulfilling life, and the life that in the long run is going to be way easier is the life of following Jesus. And you just talk to somebody in this room who has some years of recovery, and they'll explain that to you, how that works, because they have knowledge about it. And they have grown in a power, the power of God, to say no to ungodliness, to say no to foolishness, to say no to just to craziness, because addiction is craziness. We know that. That's why we're here. The power to say no to that and to say yes to love, to relationship, to God. See, it's a better life. So prayer and meditation are two primary disciplines that are being emphasized to us here in step 11. And these are disciplines that I use in my life, that I teach people, not just in a therapy context or a recovery context like this, but all different kinds of people, including people that have never had a struggle with an addiction per se. We all need prayer and meditation. We all need conscious contact with God, wherever we are in our journey in life. So let me make some comments about prayer, first of all. Prayer, we all know about prayer, we think we do, but there's a lot of confusion about prayer. And a primary confusion is that we think of prayer as being something like a mechanism, that I can pray and then God will answer my prayer, and it's like if I pray good, God will answer better. Or if I pray more, that'll make God happy. And so we start to take some pride in our prayers, and we might almost think about it like it's kind of like going up to the vending machine and you put your money in and out comes the Coke. And prayer's kind of like that. If I do these things, I say these prayers, or I use these Bible verses, then you know, God's going to answer that promise and give me what I want. And you know, God is so loving and patient that He puts up with a lot of that. But that's really not what prayer is about. You know, God isn't just like our servant that runs around like a bellhop, you know, at our beck and call, just kind of doing what we want Him to do. God knows that we need to learn to submit to Him. Thank God we have that, turning our will over to God. We have that in our 12 steps. Because that's the cornerstone. If we don't turn our will over to God, we can't begin to pray and meditate on Scripture in the way that's helpful. So prayer, it's not a mechanism that we manipulate, a lever that we push, or stuff we do that gets God to do what we want Him to do. Prayer is so much bigger than that. It's so much better than that. Prayer is about an interactive relationship with God through Jesus. See, we pray in Jesus' name. We pray to the Father in Jesus' name. That's how Randy prayed for us at the opening this evening. God is our Father, a loving Heavenly Father. Jesus showed us that God is actually our Abba, our Papa. And some of us in this room had problems, many of us, hurtful relationships with our Father, and we don't understand God is an Abba, a dear Papa who's safe and gentle, strong, but kind, sensitive. God is our Papa. Jesus called God Abba. We can pray to God as our dear Papa. Jesus shows us that. That's what it means we pray in Jesus' name. Jesus gets us, he connects us to God. He shows us what God is like and he connects us with God. And Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit. The very Spirit of God lives in you or can live in you. When you put your trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, when you come to the realization that Jesus is it, he is really it. There is no one and nothing like Jesus. Perfect love. Yeah, we can applaud for the Lord Jesus. A few of you might think it's sappy, but I really love Jesus. And I want to love him more. I want to love Jesus with affection. The more I would think about Jesus, the better. Jesus is our access to God, and it is his Spirit. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Jesus. It can live inside of you. That's the source of power, and that's the source of prayer. Prayer is not something that we work up. That's one of the reasons why a lot of us have so much trouble with prayer, is we think it's all up to me. And when we know, it's like, oh, well, I get distracted, you know, like Randy was saying earlier. Well, me too, I understand that. We all get distracted. The most mature, spiritual men and women of God get distracted. Now, we can become less distracted as we go along. But Jesus is praying for us at the right hand of the Father God. The Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. The dunamis, the power of God. That's where we get our word dynamite, dunamis. This is power. It comes to live inside of us. And as we grow in the character of Jesus, more and more of this power is made accessible to us. We need that power to say no to all that stuff out there that's messing up our lives. Because our own willpower is not enough. That's the point of we turn our will over to God. Trying harder won't get us there. I taught on that a while ago. Don't try, train. I taught on that here at Lifelines. Willpower is not enough. We need God's power. Now to access God's power, we need to do some steps over time. We need to redo those steps. We need to do some disciplines. We need some knowledge. We need to learn some things. We need to grow in character so it gets safer and safer for God to give us his power. Because he can trust us with that power. Because we're going to do loving things with that power. It's that power that enables us to say no. So prayer is not something we conjure up. It's something that God helps us with. God is praying for us. It's an amazing thing about the Trinity. We're joining the prayers of God. It's a deep conversation. I love Psalm 5. Verses 1 to 3. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help. My King and my God, for to you I pray in the morning, O Lord. You hear my voice in the morning. I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. That giving. What will God do? This is prayer. The Psalms are all prayers. If you need help with prayer, go to the Psalms and read a Psalm and you'll be praying. For every problem in your life, every emotional struggle, there is a Psalm that speaks your language and will help you to pray. This Psalm is one of the things I love about it is the progression. Words, sighing, crying, praying, waiting. There's a progression. We're going deeper and deeper and deeper. We start at words. We get into nonverbal expressions of sighs, and that's a deeper form of communication. We move into crying and tears, deeper still, coming from our hearts, yearning, crying out for God.
Then we go to prayer. True prayer is even deeper than crying. It's more intimate. It's the most intimate thing we can do, and it's why some of us are scared to pray in public. We have to take courage and learn how to do that. Maybe in our families we didn't do that. It's very intimate. Then we move to waiting. Waiting on God. That is the most intimate way in this progression now to relate with God. And a lot of us know that's the hardest thing for us, to wait, to be still. I mean, a lot of you challenge just to sit still right now, right? Keep listening to me. You know, it's like, you know, you're not used to sitting still so long and paying attention for, you know, a long time. And you've had a lot of things in life you've been using to excite you and keep you going and your attention flitting around. I understand that. See? So learning to be still, learning to really be present in the moment and to concentrate. We ask you that. We've got to exercise some muscles here, you know, in our minds, in our bodies. And that's going to feel a little bit like work. But you practice that stuff, I promise you, life is going to get a lot easier. You can improve. Waiting on God. That's a deep form of prayer. Prayer is about growing. I love it in Luke 11:1, the disciples pray, Lord, teach us to pray. Did you know that's when Jesus teaches them the Lord's Prayer? Very, very interesting. You know, he didn't just, you know, start off one day and say, well, I think I'm going to teach on prayer. And so then he teaches them the Lord's Prayer, which, by the way, is how he prayed. And he learned that from the Psalms. These are the kinds of prayers. This isn't just one prayer. It's a basket of, each phrase is a type of prayer. And there are all those types are in the Psalms. Well, Jesus taught that in response to his disciples crying out to him. You've got to hear when they say, Lord, teach us to pray. It's not like, thou, my Lord, wilt thou please teach us to pray. That's not the way it was. It was more like, oh, Jesus, Jesus, will you teach us to pray? I'm desperate to learn how to talk to God. I see how you do it. I see the intimacy that you have with God. I see what happens after you pray. People get healed. Crowds of people flock around you because the love of God just pours out from you. Wisdom like I've never heard before comes from your lips. And I've seen that it comes because you get off in the morning and you pray. You go into the mountains and you pray. This God that you call Abba. Oh, Lord, teach me to pray. Until you get that desperate for prayer and meditation, you're not really going to learn it. Some of you in this room don't feel very spiritual. But you have an advantage over a lot of church people and certainly religious people. Because a lot of religious people aren't aware of how desperate they are. They are, but they're not aware of it. In this room, we're aware of it. We know. Yeah. So, I'm here this evening to say, how about enough pain? Has anybody had enough pain in your life? We don't have to keep walking into the pit and making our lives worse. Step 11, the beauty of step 11 is, see, we've done a lot of work to get here in the earlier steps. And if you haven't made much progress in those steps, don't worry, we'll come back around to them. That's what we do at Lifelines. We just keep going back to the steps, taking them deeper, bringing them into relationship, bringing them into our lives. But step 11, the beauty of it is, it's a step of vision. It's saying, your life, Bill, your life, my friends here, can be better. You can grow closer to God. You can improve your conscious contact with God. I need to improve my conscious contact with God. It never stops. You need to improve your conscious contact with God. Prayer will help you. So it's a process of growing. We want to be eager disciples. Just quickly, we're going to make some comments on meditation before we close. Prayer is about listening, too. This is a conversation. Here's a definition of prayer. Prayer is
talking with God about what we're doing together. Well, that includes listening, like Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Prayer, as I said, is about an ongoing intimacy and partnership. So quickly, a couple comments on meditation. Randy will close us with the Lord's Prayer. Meditation is not nirvana. You know, I mean, nirvana is fine, I suppose, but the idea of nirvana is this blissful detachment from reality. I mean, there's a place for learning to detach, but the problem with the way the Eastern religions do it is their form of meditation takes you into nothingness and emptiness. And that's depressing. There's no love there. We want to be brought into something. To overcome an addiction to alcohol, you need a more powerful relational force. You need love. You need Jesus. You see, so you need a connection. And that's what Christian meditation is about. It's about how we relate to God, in particular, using the words of Scripture. It's that leash. It's being the Psalm 1 man or the Psalm 1 woman that delights in the law of the Lord, in the words of God. This is something that we learn. We cultivate the appetite for the manna from heaven, meditating on it. Maybe the best way I could illustrate meditation to you is that everybody in this room, including whoever feels like you're the farthest from God, you might say, you know, Bill, I don't know about Jesus. I don't know Jesus. I haven't spent any time in the Bible. I don't know if I want to. There's probably some of you in the room like that. I want to tell you that you know how to meditate. And I would like you to come to trust in Jesus because it would help you to meditate. But even before you trust in Jesus, you know how to meditate. Because when you're worrying about stuff in your life, you're meditating. When you're planning, when you can get that next drink or that next lust hit, you're meditating. When you're obsessing about that relationship that you've been codependent in, you're meditating. So what I'm talking to you about is taking your thoughts and putting them off of that compulsion and putting them onto the most beautiful, loving person in the whole world, who has all the power and is present right now beside you, if not living in you, walks out this door with you, knows you inside and out, and loves you completely, and is totally focused on helping you. He died for you. He gave his life for you. He rose from the dead for you. He's in heaven for you, and he's right here beside you. He wants to live his life with you. And it is the desire of my heart and many in this room that each one of us would trust in Jesus, that all of us would grow in a relationship with him. And as we do that, as we improve our conscious contact with God through prayer and meditation, I promise you, there is knowledge for you, life-giving knowledge, and power, the capacity to say no to what's bad for you and what's bad for the people that you love, and to say yes to what's good for you and good for the people that you love. Power and knowledge. Lord bless you. Thank you for listening.
Come on, give it up for Dr. Bill. Powerful stuff. All right, let's all stand up. We're going to close out with the Lord's Prayer. And